Okay, so as Eric was pointing out, Parsha Tzav is a little bit of a hard parsha to talk about. So yeah, I said we'll find out. One of the challenges with Parsha Tzav, and we have to figure out, is the one of the challenges of Parsha Tzav is its similarity to Parsha Vayikra, and that's challenging for two reasons. First of all, because Vayikra already is something challenging to talk about, and then Tzav seems to be very repetitive. A lot of the same things that we speak about in Vayikra are in Tzav. So in Vayikra, we learn about the different types of korbanos, the different types of offerings, the sacrifices in the temple. There's five main categories that are discussed. There's the korban ola, which was the korban that Hispanic people brought. So the korban ola is an elevation offering. It was completely burnt on the mizbeach. There is a korban called the korban shlamim, also referred to as the peace offering. This is the one that the person who brings the korban actually gets to take part of the meat of the korban. There are two different types of korbanos that are brought for various types of sins that someone would commit. One's called a korban chatas, a korban asham, often translated as the sin offering, the guilt offering. There's the korban mincha we learned about last week also, which is the korban that is the flour offering. It's brought either of bread or really matzah, or it could be flour. It could be deep fried, shallow fried, or shallow or baked, different types of ways to offer this bread. Those five main types of korbanos are in last week's parsha. And in this week, we learn about them again. So a little bit of some nuances here and there, but a lot of similarities. The same, five categories are mentioned here as well. And the question is, what's different about Parsha Tzav? What are we supposed to take out of it? And so many people would say, okay, this is why Hashem usually put Parsha Tzav just before Pesach, so people don't have to speak about Tzav, they can speak about Pesach instead, or it overlaps with Parsha Para, so we could speak about that. But I think this week we're going to ask Para to move over, and we're going to really try to take a look at something in Tzav, something to appreciate. Here's one for you. I don't usually do this.
It's not Parsha Para, is it?
So we're going to just take a look at something else in this parsha, and we're going to start with a comment regarding the something called the Minchas Chinuch. There's a sefer called Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is right here in 6:13, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says Zeh Korban Aaron uvanav Asher Yikriv al Hashem b'yom himashacho. So this is what Aaron and his children will bring on the first day. So this is basically the korban that's the inauguration service of each Kohen. The first one he's going to bring in his life is going to be a korban mincha. Asiris ha'ifas solis mincha tamid. So the first korban that a person brings, that a Kohen brings when he comes of age, is the korban mincha. And that's a little strange. It's a little strange because the korban mincha, if you were paying attention last week, it's not the most exciting korban to bring. Out of the five types of korbanos we mentioned, that's the one that's not an animal korban. And that's the one that, who typically brings the korban mincha? What type of person?
Poor people.
That's a poor man. That's a poor man's sacrifice. That's a poor man's korban. So it seems to be a little bit of a lower level. Why would it be that is the korban that is chosen? That is the korban that is chosen for a Kohen to start off his service. So, first of all, the main difference between Tzav and Vayikra is that Vayikra is an introduction to korbanos in general. It's telling us about the service of all the sacrifices. Parshas Tzav is not talking to the general populace. It's not talking to every single Jew. Of course, every pasuk in the Torah is talking to every single Jew, but directly in the simple understanding of what the text is saying, it's talking to Saves Aaron ves banav lemor. Command Aaron and his sons the following. This parsha, at least the first half, really the whole parsha, is really a Kohen's guide. This is a priestly guide. This is something for the Kohanim to think about and internalize. Of course, every pasuk applies to every Jew, and every Jew should really try to learn all of the Torah. But what's going on here is it's the korbanos, but from the perspective of the Kohanim, of the priests. And I think if you look carefully at the details, you'll see with that prism, with that lens through which to view this parsha, you'll be able to appreciate what's going on. And I want to suggest, based on that, that there's an important point over here for the Kohen. Why is it that the Kohen starts off his service with the Karban Mincha, the Minchas Chinuch? Why does he start off that way? It's a low-level Karban. So I think it's very important because the Kohanim are going to be dealing with many Karbanos. That's their job. They facilitate the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to be continuously working with Karbanos, and people are going to be bringing Karbanos to them. Not to them, to Hashem, but through them. And this is telling Kohanim how they are supposed to view, how are they supposed to look at the people who are bringing Karbanos. Right? When someone brings a Karban, so the Kohanim are there, they're there for the week, they're involved. The people come in. It could be that it's their first time coming to the Beis HaMikdash in many months. Sometimes even more than that. But sometimes many months. They come there, and they're bringing a Karban. They're trying to dedicate themselves to Hashem, to His service. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to be inspired and try to elevate themselves. And sometimes they can't afford to bring an animal. They can't bring to bring an ox, to bring a sheep. I can't afford that. I can gather a little bit of flour week by week until it builds up and then bring a Karban Mincha to Hashem. That I could do. And they come there. And imagine what it would be like if the Kohanim see, and like, oh, great. Another cheapo. Okay, look at this. We have okay, some more bread. We could have gotten meat, but this guy comes in and he's offering bread. Okay, you just listen. Get to the back of the line. We'll get to you eventually. You can imagine, Chas v'Shalom, the attitude that Kohanim could treat a person like that with. So perhaps Hashem wanted it to be, or at least one benefit we see is that a Kohen starts off his service with the Karban Mincha. That creates a chavivus, a love for the Karban Mincha. There's a certain attachment, right? You always remember the first time you tried beef jerky, you remember where you were, right? The first time, you're right here. The first time you learned a page of Gemara, it could be also was right here, right? You remember the first time, the first thing you did, your inauguration into whatever it might have been, that has a lasting impact, and there's a subconscious love that develops for that thing. And perhaps that's one of the things that's achieved through a Kohen starting off his service. When he comes of age, he starts off his service with the Karban Mincha, so that he always feels a love for it, so that he'll never be blasé towards the Karban Mincha and the one who brings it, and especially the poor person who brings it. He'll never feel like that towards this person. He'll say, ah, the Karban, oh, you're bringing a Karban Mincha? Let me tell you, that was my first Karban too, right? Like there'll be this attachment and love for it. And perhaps even more than just the subconscious chavivus, the love that's developed for it, is just the awareness that this is a very holy thing. That don't take it lightly. Meaning not that it's subconsciously trying to teach the Kohen something, but that it's consciously, it's a very vocal message. This is a holy thing, and make sure you always view it as a holy thing. And it teaches us the great sensitivity that the Kohanim have to have towards everybody. Right? There is a little bit later on in the Parsha in Zion Tes and Yud, it talks about the Karban Mincha. It says V'chol Mincha Asher Teyafel Batanor V'chol Nasev Amrechesh Amachavas. Any Karban Mincha, again the flour offering, that whether it's baked or it's deep. Fried or shallow fried in a deep pan or a shallow pan or boiled, la kohen hamakrivosad lo siyach. It should belong. It's going to go to the kohen who brings it. The kohen who facilitates the service. He's going to get to eat it. V'chol mincha v'lulav hashemen v'chareva, and any mincha that has oil mixed in or it's dry. Sometimes there's oil mixed into the karban mincha, and sometimes it's dry. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. It's going to be for all the children of Aaron. Ish ke'achiv, a man like his brother. What does it mean, a man like his brother? We said all of the Karban Minchas that you have, so it could be they're baked, and it says whether there's oil in it, oil mixed in, or not, or it's dry, there's no oil mixed in, it's going to be like for the children of Aaron, a man like his brother. What does it mean, a man like his brother? And what are we talking about? There's whether oil mixed in, not oil mixed in. So Rashi fills us in a little bit. He says, let me tell you something. There are some types of Karban Minchas that have oil mixed in and some that don't. You know which don't? Which type of Karban Mincha doesn't have oil mixed in?
Sota.
Oh, this the Karban of a Sota or a Chota, right? A sinner or a wayward wife who or a potential wife who's accused. So there's certain types of offerings that they bring, the mincha they have, doesn't have oil mixed in. Because oil is, you know, there's something regal and nice and high quality to oil, and this person sinned. So it's not appropriate to have oil mixed in this carbon. But what's it saying over here, now that we read the pasuk this way? Every mincha, whether there's oil mixed in or not, whether the person who's bringing it was a sinner or not, it should be like to Aaron, ish ke'achiv, a man like his brother. A man like his brother, that we should, the Kohanim are being trained to view people in the proper way, to view people that, you know, that this person said this person, but they're both trying to come closer to Hashem, so we're going to treat them properly. And there are many more supports to this concept. We have, it says specifically that the korban of the korban chatas, the sin offering, is slaughtered in the place of the korban olav, the elevation offering, which is a very holy korban. The sin offering, the animal is slaughtered in the same location, the Torah specifies, as the korban ola, the very holy offering. And Kliyakar says over here, you know why? He gives a couple of explanations depending on how you understand the korban ola. He says, I'll tell you why. Because even though the person sinned, the person who's bringing a korban chatas, he sinned. But right now, we're not looking at him as a sinner. He's a person involved in the tshuva process. He's somebody repenting. He's someone right now trying to get involved and get closer to Hashem. That sounds like a korban ola to me, says Kliyakar. So we see, and throughout the parsha, you can see many more points like this, that this parsha is talking to the Kohanim to train them how to view the Jews who come to the temple and try to bring a karma, try to get closer to Hashem. It's bringing them, so each person, the Kohen, has to view it and say, "You, that's a karban mincha? I know some people look at it as a poor man's karban. That's very special. That's an amazing thing. You're a sinner? You're bringing in an offering, a karban mincha without oil mixed in? That's okay. That's great that you're doing this. You're bringing a karban chatas, a sin offering? You're going to stand right here with the people bringing the korban ola, the elevation offering. It's telling Kohanim how to view the Jews who come to them. And of course, so I don't know how many Kohanim we have in the room, but we're all Kohanim. Klal Yisrael are called a mamleches Kohanim. We're a nation of priests. We are a nation of priests, and that means that all of us can apply these in our own way. People come to us, and people feel lowly about themselves. They're poor. I feel like I'm a poor person. I'm a sinner. I don't accomplish. I don't have anything to bring to the table. So that's not how we're supposed to view fellow Jews. Ish ke'achiv, to understand that everyone, especially here, everyone's trying to get closer to Hashem. Everyone's trying to do the right thing. Everyone's trying to be in the world of the korban olav, trying to elevate ourselves and to be able to treat each other with this respect and dignity, I think is one of the main messages of the parsha. Yeah.